It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday, July 22nd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Today, Verizon announces its second quarter earnings. The expectation is that earnings will be good. But one thing that wireless companies are struggling with is that there aren't a ton of new wireless customers to sign up in the U.S. So how to steal away or at least keep the ones they have? Verizon has a plan. It gives users goodies if users agree to give up more of their data. Here's CNET Reviews Editor-in-Chief Lindsay Turrentine.
Verizon has rolled out what amounts to a frequent flyer program for your cell phone. What you do in return is agree for Verizon to track all kinds of data, like where you use your phone, what types of websites you surf on, all kinds of information about where and how you use your phone.
This is a very interesting idea because we've heard people suggest that as users, we should be thinking about how to sell and or leverage our data. And this is kind of like that.
But also, one of the things you can do with these points is participate in auctions for other goods and services. That means Verizon can get even more information from you. How much will you pay for this item that we're considering selling?
It's an eBay wrapped up in an award system folded into an enigma.
Yeah, I guess so. And, you know, you don't have to participate in this, but you can. So it is interesting to think of this as a way to capitalize off of the information that everybody wants from you.
Lindsay Turrentine at CNET. Let's stick with tracking for a minute. You've heard of companies, websites, and other organizations tracking users with the little bits of code called cookies, right? Well, this week, people are talking about a new form of online tracking. It's called Canvas fingerprinting. It's being used by online pornography websites, even the website of the White House. And it's hard for users to shake if they want to. Stephen Cobb is a security researcher at ESET. Stephen, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here, Ben.
All right, so what is Canvas fingerprinting and how does it work?
When you go to a web page, your computer creates what you see on the screen using a range of different programs. Canvas fingerprinting uses one of those to generate an image which has unique characteristics based on the fonts you have on your computer, the type of computer you have, and a variety of variables.
So it's almost like a snapshot of all the software and hardware that I'm using, and that's how you can sort of tell me apart from other machines that visit your website?
That's how it works, yes.
What new issues come out of this kind of tracking technology?
I think the problem that people see with this is that if a user is concerned about their privacy, they may use various commands and various pieces of software to turn off cookies. And cookies are a well-established technology for tracking you. But this doesn't show up like a cookie. So you may think that you're not being tracked, but this technology can track you, some would say without your permission, although the people that are using this are claiming that it's within their terms and conditions. I'm a little concerned that it's been rolled out to the extent that it has without really any discussion.
Stephen Cobb is a security researcher at ESET. Stephen, thank you for explaining this for us.
You're welcome, Ben.
By the way, one way to opt out of Canvas fingerprinting is to use a super secret anonymizing browser like the browser Tor. There is a perennial conversation I have with other music fans who like to listen in album form. It's about the value of recorded music. If you're a Spotify user who likes to listen to singles on their phone instead of the double vinyl live classic rock album, recorded music just isn't worth much these days. Taylor Swift recently argued in the Wall Street Journal that the album was far from dead, that with the appropriate amount of heart and soul and correct pricing, the industry will be fine. Well, Vox.com's managing editor Nilay Patel thinks Taylor Swift and other artists should make their money elsewhere. Hi, Nilay.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. First of all, are you or are you not a Taylor Swift fan?
I am a huge Taylor Swift fan.
Okay.
I just don't think she understands what's happening to the music industry.
Talk to me about heart and soul versus convenience.
I think there was a time in the music industry where a band like Led Zeppelin would go into the studio for a year and produce six sides of vinyl, and then people would pay money for that. And I don't think that happens anymore. I think people Google for singles that they want to hear and then listen to them on YouTube. And that means that artists have to sell something other than music.
I don't know. Isn't that super scary for the art form itself?
I think it's terrifying in the short term and enormously liberating in the long term.
Okay.
And there are hundreds of young 20-year-olds who have massive YouTube audiences.
Right.
And they're making $1.5 million a year just from people watching their streams on YouTube, and they're connecting with their audiences. And I'm looking at it, and what I see is that there's more music than ever, but the music business as it's presently constituted is almost certainly going away.
What advice would you give then, if you're looking at this long view, to people who are actually trying to make a living at it?
It's not so much advice, right? If I knew how to make it in the music business,
you would be Taylor Swift.
I would be Taylor Swift. I think the great lesson of Taylor Swift is she built her following. There are many, many artists who have that kind of relationship with their fans. And there is a sense that these people are connected to you, right? They're stars, but they're, you know, stars just like you. But I think the next step for artists and people who want to make a career out of music is figuring out what you're going to sell. And what you're going to sell can be anything. It just has to be something that an audience can't get anywhere else. And that is, I think, terrifying for the music industry. So they're pushing this idea that albums are still special, that these revenue models they had before are somehow connected deeply to the value of the art itself. And I don't think that's true at all.
Nilay Patel, managing editor of Vox.com. Nilay, good to talk to you, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Find a link to Nilay's piece on Twitter. We're at Marketplace Tech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.